Our supporting reading this afternoon is Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. So you turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to Titus and the third chapter. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Saviour and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. One more verse. So that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So, Exodus chapter 29 is where I left off quite a while ago. I don't know whether I'll actually finish the book of Exodus here, but nevertheless, it's all God's word, and I trust it'll be a blessing to us this afternoon as well. In fact, this could have been a good passage for the ordination service, but there you go. We can hear it today. Not just for the ordination of clergy, by the way, but for the ordination of every Christian. Okay, Exodus 29, the consecration of priests. Now this is what you shall do to them, to consecrate them to minister as priests to me. Take one bull and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread, and unleavened cakes mixed with oil, and unleavened wafers spread with oil, and you shall make them of fine wheat flour. You shall put them in one basket, and present them in the basket along with the bull and the two rams. And then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. And you shall take the garments and put them on Aaron the tunic and the robe of the ephod and the ephod with the breastpiece and gird him with the skillfully woven band of the ephod. And you shall set the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. And then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. And you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and bind caps on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. And so you shall ordain Aaron and his sons. And then you shall bring the bull before the tent of meeting. And Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the bull. And you shall slaughter the bull before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And you shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger. And you shall pour out all the blood at the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrails and the lobe of the liver and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them and offer them up in smoke on the altar. But the flesh of the bull and its hide and its refuse you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. And you shall also take the one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall slaughter the ram and shall take its blood and sprinkle it around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram into pieces and wash its entrails and its legs and put them with its pieces and its head. And you shall offer up in smoke the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a soothing aroma, an offering by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall lay their hands on the head of the ram. And you shall slaughter the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the lobe of Aaron's right ear, and on the lobes of his sons' right ears, and on the thumbs of their right hands, and on the big toes of their right feet, and sprinkle the rest of the blood around the altar. Then you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, and on his sons, and on his sons' garments with him. So he and his garments shall be consecrated, as well as his sons and his sons' garments with him. So far the word of God. And that is also the text for the sermon this afternoon. So brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, Aaron and his sons had an important job as priests. They were to represent the Israelites before the Lord. They were to offer prayers, they were to offer sacrifices, and had to perform that sacred duty of entering the holy place in the tabernacle. Now, in order to do this, they themselves had to be holy. And so before they could begin their duties, they needed to be consecrated. They needed to be dedicated and made holy for that responsibility of representing the Israelites before the Lord. Now, this is true for the pastors and for the office bearers in the church today as well, who are meant to represent Christ to their congregation. This is also true for the Christian, for you and me, who represent Christ to our neighbour or our family members. And in order for us to be able to do that faithfully, we also must be holy. Well, how can we be holy? Well, our text and its lines to the Lord Jesus Christ show us how. And we'll look at it in three parts. First of all, the consecration of Aaron and his sons, then the consecration of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the consecration of the Christian. And the idea of consecrating, or that word consecration, can be simply explained by being made holy and being made ready for the task. So first of all, consecration of Aaron and his sons. And so it says in the text, the Lord said to Moses, "This is what you shall do to consecrate them to minister as priests to me." And then the Lord gave Moses a list of things needed for the consecration of Aaron and his sons. A young bull, two rams, unleavened bread, cakes and wafers and so on. And these had to be offered to God as sacrifices in this consecration ceremony. Then came the men, Aaron and his sons. They had to be washed from head to toe at the doorway of the tabernacle. Then they had to be dressed in their priestly clothes, with Aaron wearing the tunic, the robe, the ephod, the breastpiece, along with the sash and the turban and the golden plate, which was attached to the front of the turban, on which was inscribed, "Holy to the Lord." Once dressed, Aaron had to be ordained or anointed with the holy oil, which set him apart as the nation's high priest. And according to Psalm 133, the precious oil was poured on Aaron's head, and it ran down the side of his face onto his beard and on his robes. And that symbolized the pouring out of God's Spirit and the richness of God's blessing. Now, the ceremonial clothes for the sons of Aaron were a bit different. They were given special tunics and coats with sashes and caps. And this procedure of preparing for ordination was something that was done in perpetuity. In other words, subsequent generations of Israelites ordained their priests by washing them, giving them that special clothing, and anointing them with oil. So now the priests looked good, and they smelled nice, but they were still sinners. This became glaringly apparent later on, when sacrifices were being offered, and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, did something unusual, did something different, did something that God didn't command them to do. They offered unauthorized incense before the Lord, and so they were made an example of back there in the early days of the covenant community. They were consumed by fire, in fact. So there was a gap between their outward appearance and their inner spiritual condition. And something had to be done about that. Well, God graciously provided the solution. And that was this Old Testament sacrificial system that we read about so much in these books of Moses. Blood needed to be shed because, of course, the covenant is a bond in blood. The covenant that the people have with God is a bond in blood, and so blood needed to be shed, but not the blood of the sinner. God graciously provided a substitute. Animals would be sacrificed. And so as we see in the text, the bull for the sin offering was sacrificed in the courtyard and its blood sprinkled on the altar. According to Leviticus 8 verse 15, this sanctified the altar and showed that sacrifices made on the altar provided restitution for sin. Then came one of the rams, that too was slaughtered and washed and placed on the altar and burnt as an offering to the Lord. And it says it was a soothing aroma and an offering by fire to the Lord. In other words, it was a sacrifice that pleased God. And finally, the third ram was slaughtered, and some of the blood of this ram was placed on the right ears, on the right thumbs, and the right big toes of Aaron and his sons. The rest of the blood was thrown up against the altar, and as it ran down the sides of the altar, some of it had to be caught up in receptacles. That blood that was caught up in receptacles was then sprinkled on the clothes of Aaron and his sons. And so by way of that ritual sacrifice of the bull and the rams, Aaron and his sons were consecrated and they were sanctified as priests and they were made ready for their holy duties. Now, as you can imagine, by the time that third beast was sacrificed, there was blood everywhere. On the altar, on the ground, on Aaron and his son's clothing, on their ears, their thumbs, their toes. They were washed with water. They were robed with special clothing, which set them apart. They were anointed with oil and then sprinkled with this ceremonial or sacrificial blood. There was a great depth of meaning to that. It meant that they were purified, that they were sanctified, they were anointed, and they were justified. That whole ceremony then was their ordination into the priesthood. Purified, sanctified, anointed, and justified. Justified means that they were made right with God, even though they were sinners. Now that brings us to the second point, because we come to the second point, we get a deeper and better understanding of what justification really is. And that second point is the consecration of Christ. One way or another, everything in the Old Testament tabernacle points to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Christ came to earth, John 1 verse 14 says he tabernacled among us. That's a deliberate connection to the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. In the tabernacle and the temple, the golden lampstand symbolized Jesus Christ as the light of the world. The showbread symbolized him as the bread of life. The sacrifices made on the altar point to our Lord Jesus once and for all sacrifice for sin. We note in verse 10 that when the bull and the two rams were brought in for slaughter, Aaron and his sons had to lay their hands on the heads of the animals. Now that action can be understood to be as a transfer. So when the sin of the priests, when they laid their hands on the head of the animal, the sin of the priests was symbolically transferred to the animal, which when killed, paid the price for their sin and made atonement for them. Now there's a very important line to Christ in that, because when we lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith, when we believe that he is the Son of God, who came to earth to suffer and pay for our sins, and we lay hold of that by faith, then he becomes our substitute for sin. For our sakes, God made him who had no sin, be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. So when we lay hold of Christ by faith, he becomes our substitute for sin. Getting back to what happened in the tabernacle, just as certain parts of the animal sacrifices were carried outside the camp to be burnt, so too, and this is what it says in Hebrews 13 verse 12, Jesus Christ suffered outside the gate so that he would make his people holy through his blood shed on the cross. So there are very clear lines to the Lord Jesus Christ in what happened in the tabernacle. But then Jesus wasn't just the substitutionary sacrifice. He was also the priest who entered the tabernacle himself. He entered the dwelling place of God on our behalf. And so he's also not just the sacrifice, but also the high priest. In fact, in Hebrews, he's called a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God. Hebrews 2:17. Elsewhere in 10:21, he's a great high priest over the house of God. And whose high priest is he? He is the high priest of every believer. He is the Christian's high priest. And as our great high priest, he didn't just offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin, but it also says in Hebrews that he intercedes for us, or he prays for us. And therefore, he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him. And so there's a wonderful assurance that we have in that, that he continues to represent us before the throne in heaven, that he intercedes for us. And because he does, he's able to save us completely. We may worry at times, am I really good enough to be right with God? Is this sacrifice that Christ made, is this something that will endure even through all my trials and tribulations and falls from grace and so on? Well, the fact that he always intercedes for us gives us that assurance that those things are true. Now, the question is, when was Christ ordained to the priesthood? Well, that happened at his baptism in the Jordan River. The first step of ordination for Aaron and his sons was the washing with water. And so Jesus also was baptized with water, not because he was unclean, though, not because he was sinful, but because he was ordained and set apart as priest for us sinners. And so at the moment of his baptism, the heavens were opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, Luke 3, verse 21 and 22. So then, just as with the anointing oil, which symbolized the Spirit setting apart Aaron and his sons for service as priest, Jesus Christ was also anointed with the Holy Spirit. As Peter testified in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with spirit and with power. And this is why Jesus was and is a perfect high priest for us. He was anointed in a very special way by the Holy Spirit. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we read this in the Gospels, he performed these wonderful miracles. He taught God's word with his own authority, and he offered his life for our sakes, to save us from our sin. And then he rose again for our justification. And now he hears our prayers in heaven. In fact, whatever we need, we are invited to ask for it in Jesus' name. John 14, verse 14. Do you need protection? Ask for it in Jesus' name. Do you need provision? Daily provision, daily bread, ask for it in Jesus' name. Do you need peace or healing or comfort or guidance? Do you need forgiveness of sins? Do you need the strength to persevere in your faith? Ask for it in Jesus' name. God hears your prayers and he answers them according to his perfect and holy will for the sake of his son, Jesus. And this is why we pray in Jesus' name. And that's why it says, as our perfect high priest, he's able to save all those who draw near to God. In other words, who come near to God in prayer through him. So that brings me to the third point, the ordination of all believers. As with the Old Testament priest, so with the Lord Jesus Christ, so with the Christian. First, there is the washing of water, which we experience at our baptism. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26, has this statement: as surely as water washes away dirt from the body, so certainly Christ's blood and his spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins. And we know what sin does. Sin makes us spiritually dirty. Because of the sin that we were born with, we struggle with sin all our lives. We struggle with selfish ambition. We struggle with anger. We struggle with sexual immorality. We struggle with greed. We struggle with unrighteous hatred, with thoughts that are not righteous. All of that sin mars us spiritually. So if we are to be right with God, something's got to be done about our sin, just as something had to be done about Aaron and his son's sins. Well, we all know that that's not something that we can do in our own strength. We keep on sinning to the day we die. Only God can make us clean. And his special deep clean of our souls is symbolized by our baptism with water. Just as the washing with water of Aaron and his sons symbolized their consecration, our baptism with water symbolizes the Lord washing away our sins. And so if you were baptized as a baby, for example, you were baptized into the covenant community, along with all the blessings attached to that, such as the promise your parents made to train you up in the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And we know that not every kid in the neighborhood has had that privilege. There are a few who've enjoyed the privileges that Christians have enjoyed in our communities. But if you've enjoyed those covenant blessings as a baptized minister, a member of God's church, then you've been given something of that's truly precious, something that is of eternal value. Why? Because according to our text, your baptism means you've been cleansed. And while you remain in the covenant, while you believe the gospel, then that is a strong indication that you've also been baptized with the Holy Spirit. Yes, the real cleansing happens when we're born again. Titus 3 verse 5 says it. He saved us not on the basis of our righteousness, but on the basis of God's mercy, and by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And what does regeneration look like? Well, one thing that a regenerate Christian knows and does is he knows or she knows that we're sinners and confesses that sin to God. If you are regenerate, then you will know that you're a sinner and you will confess your sins and shortcomings to God. And the beauty in that is that God has promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 verse 9. So as well as being washed, we're clothed. Just as Aaron and his sons were given special clothing, topped with that turban and the gold plate attached to it, which says, "Holy to the Lord," we too have been clothed. Because we as Christians, according to Galatians 3 verse 37, have put on Christ. It says there, "For as many of you who are baptized into Christ, you have also put on Jesus Christ." And so, just as the high priest couldn't enter the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle dressed in his ordinary clothes, neither can we be in communion with God or with each other as we are in our own strength or our own righteousness. We can only have that communion, and we experience that in the Lord's Supper again this morning. We can only have that communion if we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. How do we have that clothing? We have that clothing through faith in Jesus Christ. When we believe in Jesus, then we're clothed in his righteousness. So we've been washed, we've been clothed, as well as that, we're anointed. So Aaron was anointed with oil, and that consecrated him for service in the tabernacle. Well, as Christians, we also have been anointed. We've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:21 that he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. So as Christians, we have that anointing and are thereby set apart or made holy by God for service in his kingdom. And we confess that in those words, with those words in Lord's Day 12, the Heidelberg Catechism, just a little while ago. So we've been washed, we've been clothed, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit, and we have a sacrifice or a sin offering to make, just as the Old Testament priests did. We have a substitute to lay hold of, to lay our hands on. We have the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus is our sacrificial lamb. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so to be consecrated, to be made right with God, all we need to do, to be forgiven of all of our sin, all we need to do is to lay hold of Jesus by faith. And when you do that, then God places all of your sin on Jesus Christ, and he grants you his forgiveness full and free, along with the peace and the joy and the reconciliation that we have with God. And this is for you and for me and for all who trust in the Lord Jesus. So summing all of this up, as Christians, just like Aaron and his sons, we've also been ordained or consecrated as Christians. We were washed in our baptism. We've been clothed in Christ's righteousness through faith in him. We've been anointed with his Spirit, and we've had our sin atoned for through the sacrifice of Christ. We have a sacrifice to make. Why? So that we can be ordained as priests. You see, that makes us a royal priesthood, doesn't it? 1 Peter 2:9. And it makes us, all of us, priests of God and of Jesus Christ. Revelation 20:6. The reformer Martin Luther put it this way. He calls this, or calls believers, the priesthood of all believers, which means that we have important work to do because we're being called into God's service. When we think of priests, we tend to think of ministers, we tend to think of missionaries who've been ordained into gospel ministry. Well, you know, pastors and missionaries aren't the only ones who have a sacred calling. We all have that sacred calling. We're all called to serve God by praising his name, which is what we do together when we come to church and worship him and worship corporately, or which is what we do if we sing his praises at home, or when we pray to him and think about him, or even in the way that we individually live our lives for God. We're called to serve him by giving generously to church and kingdom work. We serve him as priests by works of mercy and love, comforting the brokenhearted. Is there a neighbor that you can help and comfort, or a friend who is in need? Supporting the needy, defending the weak and defenseless. We serve God by loving those who can be hard to love, or we serve him by telling others to trust in Jesus and showing the love of Christ to others. So we serve him with our evangelistic efforts, and we can all do that. We don't have to be in that vocation of pastor or missionary to do that. We serve him when we share our faith with our neighbours, whether by word or by deed. And we serve him when it's in our hearts to want to live to the glory of God. When Aaron and his sons had the blood put on their right ear and on their right thumb and on their right toe, it meant that they belonged to God from head to toe. It implied dedication to God, all of life dedication to God. And they were to listen to him with the ear. They were to serve him with their hands and walk in God's ways with their feet. Well, since the Lord has ordained us with his Spirit, and graciously made us a kingdom of priests, or as Luther put it, a priesthood of all believers through faith in Jesus Christ, we're also called to listen to his word with our ears, to serve him with all of our strength, with our hands, and to walk in his ways on our feet, going where he would have us go. This is our high and holy calling as a priesthood of all believers. We've been baptized, our sin has been atoned for, we've been born again, and we're consecrated. We've been consecrated to serve the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for that special calling that we have, that we are your church, your ecclesia, the ones who have been called out of the world and into the covenant community. And we've been given that calling for a particular purpose, and that is to serve you, and that is to be the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, wherever you would have us work and live, and that we are called to be your mouthpiece in sharing our faith with others, whether that be by word or by deed. So we thank you for that particular calling. We thank you also for the assurance that we have that our sin has been atoned for when we lay hold of Jesus Christ by faith. Father, help us to do that all the days of our lives. And we pray, Lord, for perseverance then, that you would continue to help us to keep the faith, us and our loved ones and our family members, that you would strengthen us, and that we might continue to be your people, your servants, and use our gifts and talents to your glory and honor through faith in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.